now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, listen, thanks for coming on the Serious Growth Podcast. You know, you've been a great follower of mine on social media, but I want to get more information about you. You live in Texas?
Yes, I do. Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. How is it living in Austin, Texas?
It's grown a little too much. A lot of people from where you live are coming here to live.
California messes everything up for a lot of other states, I'm telling you.
I don't know what's going on, but it used to be a really good city here. But yeah, it's just too big.
Yeah, the thing is we want to get the hell out of the state for obvious reasons, you know, so we go other places to mess it up.
It's not much cheaper here than it is where you're at.
Well, because that's, you know, it's growing pains, right? I mean, people start coming in like that. And yeah, absolutely. So anyway, tell me about you. How far back do you go with this as far as being on the program?
You know, Leo, I started training when I was about 25 years old. So I'm 62 now. And I guess I've been training 30, 35 years. And I saw your advertisements, you and Tom Platz, in the magazines for years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just looking at the advertisements was motivating enough. And then I ordered the courses. And it took me a while to start doing that because I was involved in powerlifting for half the time, half of the 30 years I've been working, I did powerlifting.
Yeah.
I got tired and bored with powerlifting. And I said, I'm going to try something different. I got up to like 310 pounds. And I said, this is not for me. My girlfriend at the time said, I can hear you breathing sitting next to you in the movie theater. This is not healthy. So I said, I got to try something different. So I started venturing out and I started trying your courses. And I said, geez, this is overtraining. This is too much.
Right.
But the more I did it, my body adjusted and I got conditioned.
Yeah.
And I dropped about 30, 40 pounds. I went from 310 to about 270, 275. And she liked the way I look. And I just stuck with it all those years.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like a lot of other people, I kind of venture out and I try different things. Like, I guess back in the 90s and early 2000s, the Mentor program was popular.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, I've got to try that. And you know what? It's a good routine, except it's way too much rest and days off in between workouts. That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
You know, he says, do chest on Monday, then don't work out again till Thursday. It's just like, it's too much rest. If I feel like working out again, why am I taking all these days off in between? It just didn't make sense.
Well, and I think that what you were doing there is you were being intuitive, you know, the inner voice. I think that we all have to get tied into is important to trust. And yet it's very difficult when somebody's telling you, somebody at that caliber is telling you that, you know, train once every 4 days. I totally get what you're saying, you know? But one of the things that I learned about these guys that were, you know, professing a certain routine or certain style of training they were doing, they weren't, and I'm not saying that Mike Mincer wasn't being completely upfront, but I can tell you this, I was around those guys enough to tell you that the heavy duty program and even like Dorian Yates's program, that's what really made them unique. You know, Mike Mincer doing the heavy duty was that was just something very unique. So he promoted that. But what I learned about those guys is they were actually doing more volume than they were actually talking about on the front of things, you know.
I've heard that from other people. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what's important about what you're telling me right now is, look, I think it's important that we try stuff to convince and, you know, so we can document to see how it works for us. I think it's important that you did that type of routine. You have to do that in order to figure out if that's really for you. So you did that, it sounds like, you know what I mean? And so there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but the thing that is really hard for a lot of people is that most people don't want to go through what I call the process of all this stuff. It takes a long time to figure out what's best for you. Would you agree with that?
Oh, of course. Yes.
You know, so trying to mincer, one of the downfalls, and I'm sure that maybe you have some issue with it because I actually trained like Mincer for a while. But I really noticed that it was really hard on my joints, and I had a lot of problems with tendonitis and things like that.
Yes,
and that was one of the things that I noticed with that kind of a program. But it's kind of funny what you were saying about our program because we heard it from a lot of people. To be honest with you, when they saw that on the face, it was like, oh hell no, this is overtraining.
Yes.
But I think if you probably what you figured out was, because one of the things that we talked about was 35 to 45 minutes was kind of the sweet spot to train in. Right. You know, not that you couldn't go out a little bit further, but that was kind of the secret behind that. Because one of the things that Bulgarians told us way back when, they said, look, there's no such thing as overtraining if you don't overtrain to begin with.
Right.
It was just that when I went there, when they told me, because when I went back to Bulgaria back then, I was that guy that was training an hour and a half or 2 hours in the gym. Yeah. So when they told me that I had to do all this work that I was doing in 35 to 45 minutes, right. my initial thought was there's no way that I could do that. And yet I did. I didn't realize how much time I was wasting, you know, inside the gym. Did you have that kind of experience as well?
I did. And, you know, we don't realize we can condition our bodies to do anything. Our bodies adapt right. to under any type of stress.
Right.
And what we used to think was overtraining, now with your routine is regular training.
Right.
And one thing I didn't like about the men's routine and the powerlifting is it's all lower reps.
Yeah.
And big beyond belief is higher reps. And like I said, you've got to go heavy all the time for the lower reps. And I've torn my tricep, my pectoral, and it's all from just going heavy all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to keep progressing. And the way I see it with your routine, you don't always have to progress on weight. You can progress on higher reps too.
That's right.
And that's what I like. And you don't get a pump when you're powerlifting.
Right.
You're building muscle, you're getting strong, but there's never a pump.
Right.
And I hated that. Yeah. And of course, I got a lot of flack from my powerlifter friends when I broke away. They're, oh, you want to be a pretty boy now. You don't want to work out with us. I just, you know, a lot of those guys aren't around anymore. They probably heart attacks, pull muscles. I can't train anymore.
Yeah.
And the routine that you have that you came up with is a routine that you can live with every day and train all the time, no matter how old you are.
Right.
And that's what I like about it. And I'm into the 15 to 20 rep range now. And my joints feel better. I get a great pump every workout. I can work out more often. And I just got to commend you on that, because it stood the test of time. And you should have thousands of followers on Instagram, Facebook, watching these videos, because I'm a living testament, Leo. I mean, I'm 62. I'm not as strong as I used to be, but I still train just as hard as I always have.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for coming up with this routine, because I know for a while there, 15, 20 years, you kind of disappeared. I don't know if it's because of your strokes.
Yeah. It was a combination of things, actually. More, it was my personal life was going to hell in a handbasket. You know, I mean, got into these training cards. Did you come in on when we developed the Bulgarian Burst? Are you that far back?
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
No, I missed that one because I didn't know that was your program at the time.
Okay, yeah.
Until you put your name on it with Platts, then that's when I'll start following you.
Gotcha,
I've got the Titan training.
Oh, yeah.
Got the original Big Beyond Belief.
Right.
And then now the Silverback. So that's as far back as I go.
Okay, no, that's good. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you know, when we first came out with Bulgarian Burst, if you knew anything about that, you talk about some flack that we took. I mean, we were asking people to train three times a day.
Yeah.
And this was influenced very much by the Bulgarians, you know, and Russ, right. Dr. Horine and I knew, we said, you know, look, if this is the very best way to put on muscle weight, then we have to write that program, you know, and that is more important than getting the flack from us, you know, having somebody train three times a day, You know, we knew it was not reasonable for most people, but we had to write that because that was the right thing to do based on not only firsthand experience, because, you know, the Bulgarians, even though they were into Olympic lifting, you know, they were the number one, you know, Olympic lifting team in the world in as little as 9 years, which they overtook Russia. But they also had all the information from firsthand experience on how to put on muscle. It's just that they didn't promote that because that wasn't how they got their athletes' notoriety. It was Olympic lifting. So just because I've been asked about that, well, they were Olympic lifters. How can you make that transition? They already had all that information, and they were very well known to make sure that application was always the key before theory. That was one of the, because they said, look, with application, you get pretty immediate results. So you know if something's going to work or not. And what theory does, not that theory's anything wrong with theory, but what theory potentially does, it hamstrings the person from thinking outside the box. Right. I'll never forget when they said that. That changed my whole mindset after doing the Bulgarian burst. We kept thinking outside the box when we created our other programs that you eventually got on, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I was just curious if you came in on the one where we're asking people to train 3 times a day.
No, I didn't get there. Like I said, I thought that was more of a powerlifting routine, so I kind of stayed away. But when you disappeared for a while, I wanted to continue the Big Beyond Belief training routine. So I met Phil Hernon.
Okay.
I guess about 8 or 10 years ago. So I kind of got back into it. And he had at the time, I don't know if it's still around, he had a professional muscle.net bodybuilding forum.
Uh-huh.
You were on there. They had your name and your routine on there a lot. So I kind of got fired up again, started doing the routine again. Then I got in touch with Phil on Facebook.
Okay.
And he said, it's a great, great routine. Stay with it. You know, you may need to tone it back a little bit with your age. And I never looked back. And so because of you disappearing, I got to know Phil Hernon very well. And he helped me out a lot with the nutrition, the diet, the supplementation, the training and everything. And then you came back into the picture. And so I kind of, he passed away. So I kind of navigated back towards you. And so I'm glad you're still around.
I went through a phase where, you know, the getting into this, all these training courses, it took me on an odyssey, Myron. I mean, I traveled all over the world and it got just a little bit too out of hand, you know?
Right.
And I think that's not uncommon for a lot of us. You know, life gets kind of crazy sometimes. You have to dial it back. And that was kind of that rest that we took was that respite was for about 13 years, I guess, you know. And then we decided to come back a little bit and we started with a silverback. But yeah, that's where I disappeared. But I got to tell you something. Getting to know Phil, he was a special guy. A lot of people don't really know that guy was so interesting and so intuitive. What a shame that he passed away so damn soon, right?
There's one thing about Phil, he had a very silly, crazy sense of humor, and he would joke around about anything except when it came to training. He never cracked a joke, or I'd see him lash out at people when they questioned his training or his try to make a joke about things when it came to training, and he would be very defensive with that. He was very effective of his ideas about training. I'm glad you're still here because he's not. And you know what? Just watching your Serious Growth podcast, it's very motivating. I will look at that the night before I'm going to train just to get me motivated for the next workout.
Yeah.
And just want to commend you on that because also, you and I share something about the current gym atmosphere, how people sit around on their cell phones, talking, wasting time. I've navigated back to just working out my garage. I've got a ton of equipment in my garage because I just got so frustrated where there would be one exercise where I still needed to do, and somebody would be sitting on the exercise, I guess, for 15, 20 minutes doing preacher curls on a machine, just texting back and forth or checking Facebook.
Right.
I would come up and ask them, how many more sets do you have? Oh, about 10 or 15. I would just say, you know what? You're going to have to get up because I'm going to work in. I used to be nice about it and walk off.
Yeah.
The whole gym, 80% of the gym is like that now.
Yeah.
And you cannot get serious with your workout if you're texting, checking Facebook, things like that. you and Platts didn't do that when you worked out, even if you would have had cell phones.
Right.
And I never brought my cell phone to the gym. And it's just very frustrating out there. Just aren't any hardcore gyms left out there anymore.
You know,
I work out my garage. I don't take my phone in there. I've got a fan I turn on. And that's just me, 45 minutes to an hour every other night. And that's my escape.
Yeah. You know what? That's something that's always a contention for me. These people that are, you know, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock is when I do my own training.
Right.
And, one of the things that really frustrates me to this day in my own training studio, you know, I have a training studio that's about 2,600 feet, about net 1,700 feet of actual training.
Right.
And I train every morning. I get up really early and I train every morning. My hour there that I go in is from 5 to 6. Yep. And I've told my trainer, I said, look, I know that this is maybe kind of hard for you to understand with your clientele. I said, but you have to make sure that when I'm in that gym working out, because I work out with two other people at a time sometimes. And I told him, I said, look, you have to make sure that you stay out of my way. And I know that sounds like a selfish, request. I said, but most people, Myron, like what you're saying, they just don't understand that. They go into the gym for a completely different reason,
right,
based on what you and I go in for. And there's a part of me, and I tell my trainer, I said, look, it's not your client's fault, because they get upset with me sometimes because I don't have patience for that stuff.
Right.
And I tell my trainer, it's not their fault. It's your fault. You need to stay out of our way in that hour, because we're on a tempo. We've got a different mindset. There's not enough time or breath to talk in between sets.
Right.
And any little delay, you know, it's like the average person will say, what are you getting so upset about? Because they don't understand. So you and I get each other, but nobody else does. And you're right. The atmosphere of these gyms nowadays is a lot different. And I had somebody tell me, I said, it was a client that comes in at that hour. And I there are some people that are actually consistent. And I pulled this gal over there over, and I said, look, you know what? You've come in and you're very consistent. So let me ask you this question. Are you happy with your results? And if not, I could help you take your body to another level. Would that be something you're interested in? She flat out told me, and it was refreshing. No, I just come in to be able to eat the junk food that I want to eat. I just come in just to not get any worse. You know what I'm saying? And I would tell you that is probably more of the answer that you're going to get nowadays than, you know, where we're at in our training. That's part of the problem.
She's being honest with you, at least.
She's been honest, though. That's right. She was, and you're right, because if you take a look, I've talked about it in my gym. I said, and this is what it's like in the other gyms. So these people that are coming in are basically coming in to chit chat a little bit. It's social. And then what happens is every once in a while they get, they do a set here and there. That's the mindset. And I think in most cases for most people, and that's, I guess that's okay, but it's very frustrating nonetheless.
You know, Leo, when it comes to what we do, experience is everything. I don't care what anybody says. And when you look at Instagram, social media, and people posting all these workout videos and these gurus and trainers that are in their 20s and 30s that have no real world experience like we do, that's frustrating too.
Exactly. Because
people are listening to these people.
Right.
Like they have all the knowledge, and yet people like you, Phil Hernon, Tom Platts, it's like people don't really care for that anymore. That's what makes me mad, makes my blood boil.
I know. It's crazy. Huh?
Yeah. And I guess just action speaks louder than words, because I used to have, the list is endless as far as male training partners I've had over the years. But for some reason, I lost a lot of them from injuries. And I love to train hard all the time. There's no, it's always full speed ahead for me. And a lot of people don't like to work out like that all the time.
Right.
If I don't work out like that, I feel it was a wasted workout.
Yeah.
And so the last few years I've been in the gym, I've been working out with women more than men. And I've got to tell you, women bullshit a lot less than men.
Yep, they sure do.
They don't get the phones out. They don't stop and talk to their buddies.
You're right.
And I've had my best workouts. And it paid off because I had a couple of women who wanted me to train them for some contest. And another lady was getting ready for a wedding. She wanted to look good.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I'm not a personal trainer. She goes, no, that's okay. I just want you to train me because I've seen what you've done with these other women. Because when I train, Leo, there's a pool of sweat wherever I am.
Right.
And people saw that. And they would want me to train with them or train them. And I would always say, I'll train you. But the one thing I do different than other trainers, I train with you. You train with me.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to use my weight, but we'll train together. I'm not just right. going to stand there and count reps for you and say, come on, two more. That's not hands-on training as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And you've got to be lead by example. And I'm sure you do the same thing.
Yes.
And the people I train, after I train the next day, like, oh, I've never felt my muscles like this before. I'm actually feeling the muscle I'm working.
Yeah.
Fucking drop sets, supersets, everything. I throw the whole kitchen sink in.
Right.
And probably a little too much because I've had a lot of them where they actually overtrain. They'll get sick for a while and come back. And I need to kind of back off on that a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's my one weakness. And I'm sure you can relate to that. I just get in that mode. Where
Get
that pump. You get that pump, you don't want to stop. And I've got to kind of fight to keep my workouts down to an hour because when I go into the gym, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I could turn an hour workout into a 2-hour workout because I want to do this. I want to do this. And I've had some friends tell me, we don't have to do everything today. We can come back tomorrow.
Right.
And that's probably contributed to a lot of my injuries, just overtraining too much.
Well, you know, the thing about that is the warrior mindset and the type of people that we are and the people that are like that, we have to keep putting a bit in our mouth. That's a term for people that ride horses. You know, you got to put a bit in your mouth to hold yourself back. And I'd say something that is very difficult to do. A lot of people just don't understand that. It's like you wouldn't think that, but it is. I constantly have to shut myself down because it just goes on and on. It gets out of hand. And going back to the females, one of the things I learned in my personal training studio over the years, you know, when I first started in 82, believe it or not, in 82, women thought that if they stepped into the gym to lift weights, they were all going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm not making that up. That's the perception that they had. They didn't really understand the process of all that. Okay, so when I started in 82 in my personal training studio, it was 90% men, 10% women. Right. But as the time went on, and because one of the things I learned that I had to do as a trainer was I had to educate people as to why they needed, like in this case, the females, why they needed to do weight training. I had to blow the myth out of the water, you know, so over time. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened now. 40 years later, 70 or 75% of my clientele now are women. And you're right about the woman, and they are way more dedicated than the male. I happen to think, in my theory, I happen to think it goes back to something that has to do with two things, childbearing and vanity. I think those are two powerful motivators. I mean, these women go through a lot and talk about a process of being pregnant and then having a baby. They're dedicated. Yes. They're dedicated in a way that we're not, you know? Well,
right.
And I think that's like- part of it.
It seems like when they have their babies and they want to get back in shape, that motivates them. But with men, it's like they don't really want to break away from the junk food. They don't want to do this. They keep creating excuses to not do things.
Right.
Where the women find reasons to get in shape.
Yeah.
And the men will look for any excuse. Oh, that's overtraining. Oh, I can't eat strict all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you can. These women do it. Why can't you?
Yeah. No, you had childbearing and then vanity on top of that. Ooh, that's a strong motivation, you know. And I'd rather have a larger group of females that are in the facility because it is a better environment. Sadly, some of these guys that are coming in, I call their support group. They come in and there's a group of them that all hang out with each other and they're talking about fantasy football and it's okay. But it's more of a support group than, you know, doing what you're supposedly came in for. But I guess that won't change for a while, Myron.
Well, when we go to the gym, we're there to do a job, to work on our bodies.
Yeah.
And I tell people, my friends, I go, you know, when you go to work, other places, do you sit there on your phone all day?
Yeah.
Treat the gym the way you do your job. I mean, it's a job. You don't get a paycheck, but it pays off in a different way. It's your health, building muscle, burning fat. So look at it like that, because I've had friends where they can turn a 45-minute workout into a two-hour workout.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I'll break away from people like that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So like I said, I like to train hard, probably too hard. That's Phil used to have to tell me to scale it back a little bit. He would always say, if you're sore the next day, that means you did too much and you overtrained from the previous workout. So cut back a little bit. And so I've cut back a little bit. But one thing I like about working out with women is that they can't go as heavy as we can.
Right.
So that enables them to be ready to do another set sooner.
Yeah.
Which we have to push it to go sooner.
Right.
And I think that helps, you know, kind of condition us a little bit.
There's no question about it, Myron. You know, one of the things that I've really tied into is tempo of a workout. Right. And like you said, when I'm pushing at a faster tempo, I can't do as much weight. Not that I want to, but I mean, my mindset with Serious Growth and all the training courses, basically it was to do repetition, but lift as much weight as you can for the higher repetitions, basically is what we were talking about. Okay.
Right.
And, but
pretty
now
much, pretty much like moderate weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not light, not heavy, but moderate, somewhere
exactly.
In between. Right.
So, and I noticed that when I'm pushing that tempo, it's that natural bit of my mouth, because in order for me to keep that tempo going, I have to keep sometimes lightening the weight down, but doing the weight is not more important than doing the repetition. So it fits in with my state of goal.
You know, you talk about the tempo, you bring that up. I want to touch on that. When I was broke away from the Mensa routine, I also tried something called this slow rep tempo.
Uh-huh.
5 to 10 seconds up, 10 seconds down. That was probably the worst training I've ever done. It tore up my joints, because to train like that, Leo, you can't use any decent amount of weight,
right?
To be able to do a 10-second negative, right. That's a total waste, and that's something you and Phil Hernan agree on. Muscles are meant to be explosive,
yeah.
And the faster though you move the weight, as long as you move it, get where you're going to go. That suits me just fine.
Yeah,
I like the tempo, big beyond belief. The rep tempo.
Yeah. And I tell you something, one of the things I have this ask your trainer thing that I'm doing right now. Ask your trainer this question, you know, and one of the things I talk about is training tempo, because there's so much across the board what the training tempo should be. And I tell people this, I said, look, what's more important, and this sounds counterintuitive, what's more important than form and technique is feeling the muscle that you're training. And when I say that shit, it blows people out of the water, because they don't really understand that. And here's what we know. When you do feel the muscle every single time you're doing a rep, most of the time your form and technique is good. That's
right.
That's how you know that your form and technique is actually probably right on, is when you're feeling it.
You're doing something right, obviously.
Yeah.
When you feel the muscle.
Exactly. And,
so I totally agree, because there is no prescribed rep for how to do a rep for anybody. It's not carved in stone.
Right.
It has to be for that particular person, what works for them.
Exactly.
There are a lot of bodybuilders out there I've looked at over the years. Jay Cutler, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yes.
Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen him train, there's nothing slow about his reps. He's always, it almost looks like he's cheating.
Yeah.
Very explosive. But look at the physique he built with that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And people say, oh, well, that's steroids. No, it's not steroids, because there are other bodybuilders out there taking steroids, pros that could train like that don't look like that. I mean, right. it's each individual person. Doesn't matter if you're taking drugs, natural or whatever. You have to do what works best for you.
That's correct. And that goes back to that. You have to be willing to put the time in to really figure that out. You know, we can give Absolutely. You a general idea, but it really comes down to you putting your time in to figure out what's best for your physique and what you respond to.
That's what Phil used to always tell me. Let the gym be your laboratory.
That's right.
You find what works for you, because Phil was the type that he could be very direct, where you would ask too many questions and he would be like, I'm not going to hold your hand. You got to figure this out.
Right.
I'm going to give you like a little map here, follow it,
right.
You know, get back with me in a few days, we'll tweak it, but I'm not going to be here every day telling you how slow to do this rep, how fast to do this. So Phil was very blunt.
Yeah.
And he really made you think for yourself. And one thing I did get from Phil, though, I know you're pretty much against warming up, and I am too. I think it's a waste. But one thing I noticed on your live show the other day. I was a little disappointed in when somebody asked you about push-ups, and you said you don't do them. That's one thing I think I learned from Emmerich Delsig and Phil Hardy. I always begin my workout with the exercise that I hate the most. And I'm like you, I hate push-ups. And I will sit here and think about my workout every evening for 30 minutes because I know the first thing I'm going to do, I don't really do it for the part of the workout. I do it for my warm-up.
Yeah.
I could do one set of push-ups, Leo, for 40. I'm up to 40 reps now. And that one set will warm up my entire body for the entire workout.
Yeah.
It warms up my shoulders, my triceps, chest, everything. And my heart rate is up.
Yeah.
Once I get that one set of push-ups out of the way, the rest of the workout is gravy. And I do know this. The more push-ups I do, the stronger my bench press goes up.
Interesting. But see, that's goes back to what we're talking about. You know, I have my opinion on just from my own firsthand experience with how I went from warming up to not warming up, and my bench press and things actually improved. But you're that person, it's for you. This is what works better for you. So just because I'm the one that says warming up is a waste of time, that's not black and white necessarily across the board. And you're a good example of that.
Well, I do agree with you, though, Leo. I don't warm up for every exercise.
Yeah.
That one set of push-ups, after I do that, I do dumbbell presses. I go to back. It's like I'm not warming up for these other sets and exercise. Right. I'm already warmed up from the first set.
I think that's smart. I think that's smart. Yeah. It's something you've tied into for Myron. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've learned to the last year, I guess Phil taught me that, and you too. You have to learn to love what you hate in the gym. Those will probably be your most productive exercises.
Yes.
I used to hate dumbbell presses for chest because what I hated about, I could press 120s, 130s, but I hated to get them up and set them on my knees and go back with them. Oh, I would much rather lift a 315 off the bench and press that. Right. But since I'm working out my garage, all I have are dumbbells and a bench. I've learned to love that. Right. And that's my workout now. Flies, dumbbell presses. I don't have a bar. Well, I do have a bar to deadlift, but you just have to learn it. And I've gotten very strong at my dumbbell presses. And so I want to stay doing with what I hate because that seems to be working for me right now.
That's really important. It's like eating that food that you hated, those vegetables, you know, just do it, shut up and move on, you know, type of thing. Don't have the internal debate about that stuff. Just do it and get it over, do it and move forward. That's all. I mean, it sounds easy, but it's not.
And you had your strokes, you had your hamstring injury, and I've had some muscle tears, but I think I found more motivation from your book, Three Strokes in 3 Weeks, than anything. It's helped me this last year. About a year and a half ago, I thought I tore my hamstring and my glute. And Leo, I could not walk. I went to the doctor, got an MRI, and I was diagnosed with a bone spur and stenosis through my entire spine.
Wow. And
the doctor said it's from repetitive lifting. And I thought, well, I don't know why you're telling me that because I'm not going to stop working out. They wanted to do surgery, and no, because surgery was going to take 3 to 6 months for recovery. And I'm thinking, oh, that's time away from the gym. 3 to 6 months.
I like the way you think, Barrett.
Yeah. So I said, no, let's just do the steroid injections and the physical therapy. And Leo, for 3 months, I didn't leave the house when this first hit me. I'm probably 75% to 80% back to where I was, and I'm working out again. I'm not doing heavy deadlifts, but I can do bent over rows. But the thing that helped me out the most out of all this time was, I think I read your book 4 to 5 times now about the strokes.
Yeah.
And Lord knows I didn't go through what you did with 3 strokes, but I figure if you can come back from that, I can come back from this.
Well, I'm glad that I could be a part of your success, seriously, because I'm going to tell you something, Myron. Having that happen to me was it was shocking in so many ways, you know, thinking, how could that possibly happen to somebody like me? I mean, it didn't even occur to me that could happen to me, you know what I mean? But here's what I learned. I've talked about it. You probably heard me say it before on one of my lives or maybe just something that I posted. Bodybuilding has saved my life, and it's saved my life in a lot of ways. You know, and it saved my life and how I came back from my strokes. I couldn't have done it, I don't think, Myron. I mean, I've always been an athlete. There's something about bodybuilding that takes it to a whole new level as far as clarity that you get, because bodybuilding is meditation. And I think you understand that. Most people won't understand how you can put your body through that much when you're doing the workout, how calming that is in the mind. Your body is working, but your mind is still. It's focused. It's clear. Do you agree with that?
I do.
I could have never come back if I didn't have that. If I didn't know when the Bulgarians said mind-muscle connection, it takes about 21 days. I implemented all those things that I learned. It took me about 3 weeks before I connected to my body doing a curl. I couldn't move it. When that happened, I knew it was up to me. The mind had connected to the muscle. It was up to me to go through whatever I had to go through, which is why bodybuilding saved me, because it's hard to build muscle. And I prepared myself for the fight, however long it took. That was my mindset, you know? And it took me things like 2 years to finally put a fork in my hand and feed myself. It was a long ass process. Wow. And 10 years later, I'm still making these little mini breakthroughs that nobody can tell that I've had these damn strokes, but I could tell by the way my body moves through space. And the good news is I'm still making breakthroughs. That's how fantastic your body is. But guess what? You have to be a part of your own success, whatever it takes.
That's what I like about bodybuilding and powerlifting, because it's not a team type sports or activity. You do it, no one else. I don't care who your training partner is, who's spotting you. You have to put the work in.
That's right.
Nobody's going to do it for you.
It's you against you.
The other people are there to assist you, but in the end, it has to be you.
That's right.
And that's why I've always loved the bodybuilding routine. Do you think when you had your strokes, I remember an interview you did with Jerry Ward. I know you were going through a rough time getting ready for a contest. Do you think you were just way overtraining, or was it lack of sleep or things like that? What contributed to that?
All the above, because when I look back, because you know, when I was all jacked up, I had a lot of time to think. To figure this thing out, because the doctors told me when I was in there, they ran all these tests on me to see if I had blocked this or that. And they said to me, probably one of the worst things they could have said, they said, we can't find out what's wrong with you. You shouldn't be here. And yet I was all screwed up. So I had to analyze and go back. I always tell people the past has some lessons for you and some nuggets for you to pull out to move forward. So I look back at that time on what was going on. Okay, I had been 13 years since I had really gotten into that side of it. And I'm here I am now at 54, whatever it was. I was up close to 300 pounds in the off season. I was pushing like a madman. I was into it. But here's what I was doing. You know, bodybuilding, if there's a downside, is that it can become extreme on all levels. And this is where it's hard for some of us to hold ourselves back. But besides that, I had two businesses going, had two gyms going at the time. I was putting in 12, 14, 15 hours. I wasn't sleeping correctly. You know what I mean? My body was being abused on every single level. So did it have something to do with my strokes? Because people ask me, maybe, because it was a part of that extremeness that I was living at that particular time, you know? And so, I think it could have had something to do with it. Okay. So when I figured that out, then I said, well, how do I potentially keep this from happening again? Potentially. Well, I had to look at the risk factors, because that was something that I could control to some degree. You know what I mean? Like my body weight, if my blood pressure was up, things like that. Those are risk factors. Right. Because it took me a long time to want to come back. I was, you know, it's shocking. It was almost, I was afraid to come back in a way. Yeah. But once my mindset kicked in and I had some time, then I started developing a plan for me to start coming back and just kind of let form follow function. But what I figure is this, I'm not the type of person that could just lay down. I'm not that person that can just go away and not do this again. This is too much in a part of my life. Bodybuilding is my life. I just had to figure out a better way to do this. And I think so far I'm doing that. But there's never 100% guarantee that something like this won't happen again. It's like this terrorist that lives in your mind, you know, and we're all going to go through stuff. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's kind of where I'm at now.
You know, Leo, even the younger people that ask me workout advice or my training partners, they're always, what kind of routine are you doing now? And so I'm still with a big beyond belief. And they're like, well, that's a lot, but it looks like it works. You're still big. Oh, yeah, it does work. And I highly recommend it. But do not do this workout if you're not going to get your proper sleep and rest,
right?
And you're not going to get the protein in, because otherwise you're just going to be spinning your wheels and wasting your time.
Yep.
This routine will not work if you do not curb the overtraining, rest and recover. Those are the keys. They're just as important as a workout.
Yep.
And I tell you what I've done. I worked graveyard shift for so many years. I was used to sleeping 5 or 6 hours, training 5 or 6 days a week when I was in my 30s and 40s. And it worked really well. I recovered when I was in my 30s and 40s, but as soon as I hit 50s, yeah, now I'm 62, it takes a lot more recovery. So about a month ago, I started adding 1 hour extra sleep every night.
Nice.
Instead of 7, I'm getting it. I've never done that in my life.
Me either.
And Leo, yeah, I feel like a new man. Just seriously, 1 hour sleep. Yeah.
I totally agree. I was never that person to sleep too much. I mean, you know, 6 hours was always enough. But now you're right, man. I'm sleeping more than I've ever slept.
Yeah, I just, they always say when you get older, you can't sleep longer if you want to get more sleep, but you can always go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
So instead of going to bed at midnight, I go to bed 11 now, and it makes a world of difference. And I, you know, something else Phil was into was longevity supplements, things like that. And I started taking something he suggested years ago. I never took vitamin B, not B.
Right.
And Leo, I felt a boost these last 3 weeks like I've never felt in my life, because back when I was powerlifting, you know, we were all juiced up back then, bodybuilding. Somebody suggested to take injectable vitamin B. And I took it. I remember it worked really well. And so I thought, well, I'll try the tablets. That probably won't work as well. But no, I guess my system was in a shock, but I'm definitely going to stay with the vitamin B.
Yeah.
And along with vitamin D and things like that. And I just thought I'd suggest that if you're not taking it,
you definitely get a boost in. Yeah, okay. I am taking. Yeah. One of the things I also do is, because I did this when I had my strokes, is I do IV therapy. Once a month I go in, I get what's called a Myers cocktail. So it's got all the B vitamins, and they put it right into an IV, like a drip. So I do that just to, you know, to make sure. I also do in that particular Myers mix, because there's zinc and there's other things, you know, that are in alpha lipoic acid. I also do chelation therapy as well, because I want to make sure that, you know, anything is building up that's, you know, that's not friendly inside the body, I want it out, you know, because it goes to what you were talking about. You're only as good as your recovery. And I pay very close attention to that now in the way that I eat and the way that I do supplements and all that kind of stuff. So I think we're on the right track.
Right. Does this infusion that you're taking, this IV, does this stay in your system for a long time?
About 2.5 to 3 weeks. Yeah. By the time I go back, I do once a month. But there's some residual there. I highly recommend that. If it wasn't for that, when I first had my strokes, I was doing IVs twice a week. And I took about 60 injections in the very beginning, because I wanted to saturate the body to get all, because when you have a stroke, it's just, think of it this way. It's like doing the hardest workout that you've ever done in your life times 10, you know what I mean? Because your body gets inflamed when we're working out. So my whole body was assaulted by this stroke. So I had all this inflammation, especially in my brain. So I wanted to make sure I dealt with that first. So yeah, after I took about 60 of those injections, I was taking vitamin B12 shots back then.
Yeah.
And now I just do it as a way to keep maintenance. It makes me feel good. I always feel better when I get those. Have you ever had an IV like that?
No, I never have. I'm interested though.
It's amazing. If you can find somebody that does that kind of stuff in your area, I highly recommend that you do that. And we can talk about that another time, but because, you know, when you take an IV like that, it bypasses the gut. So nothing gets broken down. 100% of that goes right into the cell. So you always feel it. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you one more thing. When you were training heavy with plats, I've seen your videos doing the 400 pound rows, all the heavy work, the heavy squats. How are your joints feeling these days from that back then?
I don't have any problems, man. I have this knee. I have my left knee I have issues with, but it was from football. I have a hyperextended my left knee. I don't have any hip problems. I don't have any except for that knee, which I have it under control because I make sure I keep inflammation out. I don't have any issues that way. I'm lucky that way, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
no back problems whatsoever.
None. I tell you, one of my worst injuries was, you know, I had that hamstring that I pulled, but one of my worst injuries was when I was trying to rehab myself from being paralyzed. I was trying to lift so freaking hard that I got a hernia. Not from weight training. It was me trying to rehab my body and not even lifting weight. I was just trying to lift my damn arm. How about that?
Yeah. I always thought back when I was powerlifting, I got up into the lower 600s in my squats and deadlifts. I always thought in the back of my head, I'm going to get a hernia someday. That's going to be it. Everybody around me was getting hernias. But I wore my belt and I never got a hernia. I mean, I blew my back out, but I thought, how did I squat and deadlift all those years, 600 pounds, and not get a hernia?
Right.
And I tore up my shoulders and triceps. So with the bench, my bench was only around 425. And I had a pretty weak bench. I got to low four because I got long arms.
Yeah.
And so I had to quit powerlifting because you're not going to win a powerlifting meet only benching 425.
Right.
And so that's why I kind of got away from that. But I'd probably be in a wheelchair right now if I was still powerlifting. But I loved watching you and Platts when y'all would squat because you guys squatted, and I'm sure you had the same feeling. I would go up to 500 or 600 pounds, but the time when I felt my legs the most was when I came back down to 315 or 225 and just ripped out.
Oh, yeah.
For like 15, 20, 25 reps with that, my legs were on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't feel that when I squatted the heavier weight.
Right.
I felt my back, my glutes, but not my thighs.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got done with the heavy stuff and came down to 315 or 225, that's when my thighs were on fire.
Yeah.
But I had to go heavy to come back down and feel that.
Right.
I didn't feel that unless I did the heavyweight first.
Right.
I'm sure you've been there before.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, maybe I've told this and I don't even know what I say sometimes on these podcasts over the years. But I got to tell you something. My first introduction with Mr. Tom Platts doing squats, I'll never forget it because it was so damn traumatic. It was at Gold's Gym, Venice, right? And Tom and I were going to squat together for the first time. So he loads up 315 pounds on the bar for the first set.
Okay.
And Tom was like, he was being a coyote. He said, I'm not feeling I'm not just feeling it today. Right. He kind of played this thing. I don't know him at this point too well. So I just took it at face value. He must not be feeling it today, you know, cause sometimes we don't. Yeah. He climbs underneath the bar and does 25 reps. I see what's going on here. Jedi mind tricks, you know, we're training partners, but you know, we're still competing against each other. Right. Yeah. Well, of course I can't, I'm competitive. I cranked out 28 reps, you know, said, well, screw you, buddy. No, you're totally right. Doing those reps like that. It's a life altering experience when you get to that point, man, to get that up. It's a weird feeling. I agree.
And I found, Leo, the higher reps, people say you have to hit higher reps on legs to make gains, you know, other than body, but I found it works on other body parts too.
Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Chest, I mean, back then I could dumbbell press 120, 130 pound dumbbells, but when I came back down to 90 or 100, I felt my chest more than anything.
There's a sweet spot.
When I did a heavier weight, I felt the shoulders and triceps.
Yeah.
They were doing most of the work.
Yeah.
All right, something else I feel my chest on, flies.
Yeah.
Fairly heavy flies, high reps. I know Platts is big on that.
Oh yeah.
And that certain things like that, you just have to get to, like Phil said, the gym is your laboratory and find out what works. It's sad that it takes all these years for us to find this out. And we wish we could have been knowing this when we were in our 30s and 40s. But
well, you know, I think the same thing as well. But then I also think, you know, how lucky am I that I feel like I can go to, at this age, I'm 67, Myron. Yeah. And I got to tell you something, man, I'm putting on muscle. I'm feeling like I'm competitive in the gym. I don't want to compete on stage anymore, but more importantly, I do something that is a ritual for me and I'm getting gains from it. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I just had that was my learning curve. And if I can keep doing this, you know, for another, whatever, that's the main thing. That's the main thing right now. But as I mentioned before, you got to be willing to make adjustments along the way because your body keeps changing, your mind and your body keeps changing, and you have to adjust to that, because if you don't, you know, it could have a negative consequence.
There's so many bodybuilders out there, Leo, they're pro bodybuilders that back in your day that now look just like a shell of their former selves.
And you
to look like you still do, that's amazing. So just keep doing what you're doing, because
I'm surprised, man. You know,
I'm 5 years behind you in age, and I hope at 67 I'm still doing this.
It's amazing to me because I'm on this in this area, it's uncharted area for me. I don't know. I'm using my knowledge now and trying to be smart about it. And my body is responding and rewarding me for that. So I'm excited about that, Myron. And, you know, we're going to have to exit this. I could keep going on. I can tell I could talk to you for a long time today.
Oh, same here.
But I got to tell you something. It's really important for me to connect with the people that have been on my program. I'm so humbled by you guys that you have been with us. You have no idea how much that means to me. And I'm making it a sort of a bucket list for me. Anybody that's been on those programs, I want them to come on because I want them to see, you know, this is somebody who's done it. And you yourself have made remarkable gains, and you still are. I think it's a testament to possibly the program that we developed. That makes me happy. I'm humbled by you coming on today. I want people to see other serious growthers and how it works for them. And you're a testament to that. And I really do appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Leo. We'll be in touch. It was a pleasure being on your podcast. And do not disappear again like you did 20 years ago.
No, sir. I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Talk
soon.
Thank
you very much.
Take care.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.